Now, my message tonight is taken from the first verse in Psalm 46. A very great psalm. I've preached on it often. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is a song for troubled times. And we are living in such days. There is a great deal of uncertainty as to the future. Things that have been considered immovable are changing. And this is the real world in which we face. And reading through this psalm, we're not going to do that now, but if you do that at your leisure, you will note the contemporary nature of it. It could have been written today. And as I see it, the Christian gospel is the only answer to life in this world and to what comes after death. And I'm concerned tonight because there is such a thing as Christianity light, which I've come across, and it doesn't do you any good. And what I want us to consider in this first verse is the real thing, the real McCoy, not these lightweight versions, but the genuine article. You have it, don't you, in textiles. If you ever come across something with the words et at the end, like leatherette or suedeette, you know it's not genuine cow skin. It's a man-made substance. Well, there are many gospelettes that only make Christianettes. And it's the real thing that matters. And you need to find that out now, before it's too late. Have I got real Christianity, or is it Christianity et, Christianity light? Now, there are three things about the genuine article that distinguishes it from the lightweight version. Now, in all of these three things, there is a personal element. In one sense, the most important word in the verse tonight, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, is the little word our, or my. Martin Luther said, and we sung a hymn of his at the start, Christianity is full of personal pronouns. If Jesus Christ is just a savior to you tonight, you're not a Christian. He's got to be your savior. Mine, mine, mine. And until I've come to use personal pronouns, I'm not genuinely saved. Very well then, what are these three things that mark out the genuine from the man-made, the proper, real thing from the lightweight variety? Well, the first, and I hope you'll forgive me for having 3 points begin with the same letter. I don't do this on purpose. But if some of you, because of the change in the clock, find it difficult to concentrate, it may help. The first is safety. Why should I become a Christian? Why do you get all excited in the pulpits? Why are we serious here tonight? Not serious in a doer way, but serious in a way that shows weightiness to what we're talking about. Well, I'll tell you why. It's because you're in danger if you're not a Christian. Now, you can't imagine, can you, on News 24, somebody announcing a catastrophe in a jokey way. They would do it in a serious manner. And it's like that with the message of the Bible. It tells us to flee from the wrath to come. You need to be in a place of safety. Now, you may not believe that at this moment. Life seems very pleasant, maybe. You haven't grown up yet, and you don't know what the real world is like. But whatever our situation, whether things are going well or whether we're full of difficulties, one day we're going to have to die, and then there is eternity. And what matters most is this: am I going to be safe forever? And even then, there is one climactic event that this world is still to witness: the second coming of Jesus Christ. He came first time 2,000 years ago in obscurity. He was coming as a savior. He's coming the second time, not in obscurity, but publicly on the clouds of heaven. Every eye will see him, and he's not coming to save, but to judge. Now, I know there is such a thing as global warming, whether it's due to man-made emissions or whether it's the natural cycle, we don't know. But we're supposed to change our life because of this possible climactic event of the polar ice caps melting, a rise in the level of the oceans, and cities like Cardiff being underwater, at least below Allen's Bank Road. Now, there's a question mark next to that possibility. But you can see what people are telling you. You've got to adapt to that. You've got to start putting things in the right plastic bags. You've got to start watching your carbon footprints, etc. Now, according to the Bible, there is an event which has no question mark next to it. It's absolutely certain. As Christ came into this world first time round, he's coming back. And this is my first point. Are you going to be safe then? In the Old Testament, God judged the land of Egypt. And only those with a certain sign on the posts of their house were safe. The Israelites were told to slay a lamb and to put the blood on the doorposts. And when the angel of death passed, when he saw the blood, he passed by the Passover. Now let me give you another illustration. I used to be a geography teacher, so I know a bit about this. There was a volcanic eruption on an island called Saint Pierre about a century ago. Now, I'm fascinated by volcanoes. It's really interesting to look at on television anyway. And there's such a thing as not just a lava flow, which takes ages to come down the mountain. You can have poisonous gas fumes as well. But then, this is the most exciting thing in a volcanic eruption. It doesn't always happen. A pyroclastic flow, which is a flow of gaseous material, which comes hurtling down at such a speed that it only gives you seconds to be prepared. And on this island of Saint Pierre, there was such a flow, a pyroclastic flow. And only two people survived. One was on a ship out on the ocean. The other was a prisoner in the dungeon. And as the pyroclastic flow came over the town and went over the prison, the walls fell in on each other. And that protected this prisoner from the lava. You know, before the pyroclastic flow, there were poison gas fumes, and birds had started to drop from the sky. And the bigwigs in the town decided to have a committee meeting to decide what were they going to do. Were they going to flee, or were they going to stay? And as they were having that committee meeting, the pyroclastic flow came down and destroyed them all. I'm not fascinated by committee meetings as I'm with volcanoes. But this is the point. That prisoner was safe. And I want to tell you tonight that Christianity is the only religion in the world that gives you safety when that day of the wrath of God will come. Why? Just as those Israelites slayed a lamb and put the blood on the posts, so the Lamb of God has been slain. That's what we'll be remembering on Good Friday, the cross of Jesus Christ. This man coming into this world who claimed to be the Son of God, so he was 100% human, 100% divine, and that he came not to live, but to die. And that death wasn't for his own sake, but for you and me, so that by shedding his blood on the cross, God's wrath was being poured out on him instead of us. Now, you were asked to do certain things in the notices tonight. Now, I hope our secretary doesn't mind me putting it like this. I don't really mind if you don't do those things. But I haven't come to ask you to do something in order to save your soul for that day. I just want to announce that Christ has done everything. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But you've got to flee to him. You've got to run from where you're at this moment. Not physically, because I don't want you to leave the building. But spiritually, you've got to believe in Christ. You've got to make sure that before you leave this place, you're in him. That the blood is covering you. That your trust is in him alone. God is our refuge. That's the first thing. Safety. A shelter from the storm. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what I was concerned about when I first heard this gospel in university 20 years ago. I thought I was all right because I was religious, because I was a good sort of chap. But then I heard about the holiness of God, about me being a sinner, about the judgment to come, and I knew that I needed to be safe, and I couldn't do anything about it. But then I heard about God's provision. And that Christ was enough. And I just went. Have you gone to Christ? Young people, have you gone to him? Not, are you religious? You're in the best place here tonight. But are you trusting in Christ? What is it to go to Christ? Well, it's a bit like this. Oh, safe to the rock. That is higher than I. My soul in its conflict and sorrows would fly. So sinful. Do you feel like that sometimes? So weary. I'm spiritually tired. Thine would I be. What do I do then? I just fall. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Just rest in Christ tonight. Safety. Christianity Lights doesn't talk about that. It's too embarrassed to talk about the wrath to come. It doesn't talk about Christ's death in that way. It's all slushy, sentimental stuff. But I'm bringing before you one who is strong to save tonight, whose love is as strong as death, whose love can bring even you into this refuge. Safety. Are you safe? Are you in him? Don't talk about your religious deeds. Away with that. And just fly to Christ. I want every one of you here, you know, you older ones, you don't know how long you've got, but make sure you're in Christ. What else? Safety, stability. God is our refuge and strength. Now, you know, safety is something completely objective. It's outside of you. I may feel rotten, and I know that Christ is the refuge for sinners like me. By his death on the cross, he has done all that is necessary, and so I'm trusting in him. My heart may condemn me, but Christ is greater than my heart. It's objective. But then there is this. There is a power, a strength that gives you stability. That's why you begin to wake up spiritually to your need. That's why you are given faith to lay hold of Christ. It's because of the Holy Spirit's energies. What is a Christian? A Christian is a person who is born again. Christianity lights, Christianettes, are man-made. It's about you trying to save yourself, trying by your own efforts to deal with your problems. That's not the genuine article. This is God coming to you and empowering you, giving you faith to believe in Christ. I don't understand myself often as a Christian. You know, when I was first presented with this gospel, I told the person who was preaching to me, "You're trying to convert me, aren't you? I don't want that, thank you very much. I'm happy with my own kind of Christianity." But God was doing something, and I was brought to that point where, not in a forced way, but my will was conquered, and all I could say was, "Lord, save me. You've touched me. Your power is at work in me." Do you know that? The life of God in you? It's not something that you can produce. You know if there is life in you. This strength. He that has begun a good work will complete it. And you need that stability because of the nature of this world. Here am I, saved. I'm safe. But how am I going to continue to stand? Well, we've sung about the Lord Jesus Christ as the rock. The world is the ocean with the waves going up and down. Christ and the gospel is the rock that gives me stability. It's not just the Holy Spirit within, but the love of God round about me. And I'm standing firm. That's what the gospel is about. I don't want to talk for too long on this point because I want to make sure that you're safe more than anything else. But, you know, a Christianity that just saved me and then left me to my own devices would be no good. I need something to keep me. One hymn writer put it like this: "When all around my soul gives way." Is that you? People who you've relied on let you down. Circumstances that were once going well are going against you. Maybe financial difficulties, loss of a job, marital problems, all these things that the real world throws at us. What have you got if you haven't got Christ? What use is just religion then? It's not going to give you any stability. But if you've got Christ, you've got one to turn to. "When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay." That's Christianity. As one of the disciples said, "Lord, to whom else can we go to? Thou hast the words of eternal life." If you're not a Christian tonight, can I ask you, how can you carry on? There's a song, isn't there, which talks about somebody to lean on. You've got nobody. Yes, you say, "I have. I've got a wife or a husband." All right, but can you trust them? Maybe it's easy for me to say that. But what happens if they die one day, as they surely will? You can't lean on them. But then you will say, I've got my health. How do you know it will remain? Your health will break as well. But then you will tell me, I've got my religion. What's your religion then? Is it coming to church? You may be so ill one day that you won't be able to come to a place of worship. I want somebody that's still there when all these other things have gone. So when father and mother forsake me, I want one who still sticks close by. When my health gives way, I want one who renews my soul. When I can no longer go to church, I want one who's still there with me in my house. Christ. He came into this world, and he's been through every experience in life, bar sin. And he can empathize with you. I can't always do that. I'm still fairly young. I haven't experienced life as much as many of you have. But this man can draw close to you. And none of us have experienced death. But Christ has conquered it. And he is the resurrection and the life. I hope you don't mind me being honest now, but don't you fear death? The actual process of dying, having to leave the body behind, doesn't that make you afraid? Not just leaving this world and all that's near and dear to you behind, but the process of separation of soul and body. Be not afraid. Christ has already crossed that river. Strength, stability, not just safety. That's important. But something to enable you through life. And then one other thing. Succor. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. What does that mean? Well, it means he's accessible. What's so important about that, you ask? Well, have you ever come across these savings accounts? And the interest rates are very good. But the problem is, as you find out when you actually lay some money aside, is you haven't got ready access to your money. Especially if you bank over the internet and forgotten your security details. They just won't let you access your own money. And so if you have to face a rainy day, all that money you've got stashed in savings is not accessible. Maybe you have to wait a few years. Well, Christ isn't like that. He's a refuge, sure and nigh. He is accessible. He is always near. Doesn't that encourage you? It would give me hope if Christ offered me spiritual safety, if Christ gave me stability because of his presence and the work of his Spirit. But more than that, he's able to offer me these things right now. I don't have to wait. Can I use a very personal illustration here? I mentioned in the children's talk this morning that my car isn't working. I don't know if I can get it to the garage. It's one of those things where the light is flashing, something to do with the electrics, and it says in the book, if this light is flashing, stop the car immediately and don't drive any further. Now, that's me spiritually. I know I need to be saved. I know that Christ, after saving me, can give me all that I stand in need of. Whatever experiences I have to go through, he gives grace sufficient. When I have to die, he will carry me through. But the problem is this: how do I get to him? You see, that light is flashing in my soul. I can do it. When I try to do it, I fail. When I try to believe in Christ, it's as if there's a barrier ahead of me and I just cannot get over it. Well, I don't know if the garage will send a van to fetch my car. I hope they will. Or you'll be seeing me standing on the Gibalva roundabouts. But I know that Christ will come to you where you are at. Where are you now, my friend, spiritually? Here is a Savior that's near enough. You remember that lady that wanted to be healed, and because of the crowd, she couldn't go right up to the Lord Jesus face to face and ask him, "Heal me." All she could do was touch. She couldn't even touch him on his shoulder. She could just touch the hem of his garments as it probably scraped the floor. Now, we don't know times of blessing in this country. I've been somewhere where there is a touch of the Spirit. Christ is face to face before you, spiritually speaking. All I'm giving you tonight is the hem of his garments. I'm giving you an outline of this gospel. But I'm telling you this, my friend. It's enough for you just to touch that, just to lay hold of the promise. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast off. Can you hold on to that? I'm throwing that to you as something to hold on to in the waves. He's near. But there's another side to that. If you're not believing in Christ, what's your excuse? Because he's not so far away that you have to reach a certain condition before you can go to him. Why aren't you going to him? What's stopping you? Can I give you some reasons? You say to me, "I'm too bad." The number of times I've heard that, it gives me a headache. Because I try to reason like this with you. Hang on, didn't Jesus Christ say, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance"? Now, if you're telling me you're too bad, then you've got the wrong Christ. Because he's come for bad people. What are you waiting for? If it's sinners, and you're telling me you're one, why don't you come to him? "Oh, it's not that," you say. "I'm too weak." And then I tell you, when we were without strength, at the right time, Christ died for such as you. If faith was a mark of strength, I could understand, but faith is the opposite of that. To him that worketh not. Maybe if you're doing a Mickey Mouse degree, you're working not. If you're doing a heavyweight subject, you're spending all day working. That's not faith. Faith is working not, but believe. So don't talk to me about not being strong enough to believe. That's a description of faith, you see. Faith is falling into the arms of Jesus. That's weakness. Let's be weak, my friend. I don't have a strong faith. I have a puny faith, but I have faith in a strong Savior. Why can't you join me in trusting him? I have doubts. I don't know sometimes whether I'm in Christ, but I know this, that he saves to the uttermost all who come to God through him, and I trust him. Can't you do that? And then you say, "I'm too far away from him." Listen, while we were still enemies, It doesn't matter how far you've gone. Christ can come to you. Very well, we will finish there. This verse, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble, is just for our times. Have you got Christianity et, Christianity light, which will be no use for this world or what comes after? Or have you got Christ, a safe haven, a strength that gives stability, and somebody present, even now, if you but call on him? For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.